But when I'm in deep healing sessions with people, a lot of times, wherever their body pain is or wherever their issues are, it actually flares up really intensely while we're in the healing process. And it gets worse. And it, cause it's like, roar, like, hear me roar. I'm here to talk to you. I've been waiting all this time and you've like locked me away. As we're really getting into the heart of the issue, and it gets worse and worse in that moment. And then as soon as it's closed, the pain relieves.
This is the Gutsy Health Podcast, your go-to destination for uncomplicated, practical, and affordable tools for your wellness education with Jeannique Rover. Are you ready to become a self-healing champion? Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gutsy Health Podcast. I know I say this every week, but I am actually really excited about this interview because we're interviewing Christy Warfel, and Christy is Gina's sister. Like, Christy, the reason why we've brought her on is because when we were talking about the Gutsy Academy, and which is the first course everyone learns before they go into the Order of Healing, it's called the Mind, Body, Soul course. We taught it last year, and it was such a beautiful course. It really got people into their bodies and experiencing their bodies in a different way for the first time. And then when we got to the soul piece of that course, people had a harder time accessing like messages from their soul. I know this sounds kind of like airy-fairy and people are like, what? I thought this was a science podcast, and I promise you it is. But this podcast is where soul meets science. So we're going to be talking about soul today. And it was interesting because when we were teaching that course, like people just were so very blocked. And so this year we were like, we got to bring out some bigger guns. And we couldn't have found any bigger guns than the masterful Christy Warfel. Christy is the founder of Sangha and the Sangha School of Transformational Arts and Sciences. And she does multiple retreats where she helps people really drop into their body and their soul and do like transformational healing on levels unheard of. And so I adore Christy just because I've known her for so many years. She's Gina's sister. She was really good friends with Tristan before he passed. She helped him through a lot of stuff before he passed. But this is a, kind of like a weird fun fact. But if you've listened to past podcasts, I've spoken about my house in the mountains a lot and how special and spiritual it was and how it like I called it into my life and I wanted it to be a healing sanctuary. And it held such beautiful space for me as Tristan was transitioning. And it's such a sacred house. I've had multiple people be like, hey, can I buy your house? I'm like, you probably can't pay me enough money to buy my house. Like, what's your number? And they're like, X. And I'm like, absolutely not. But Christy actually lives in my house right now and she rents it and she has transformed my house into a sanctuary. And it's almost like it's what the house was made for, right? Like she brought her beautiful energy and she transformed the house into what it was designed to be. And so I know that's like such a rare and fun fact on the side. But anyways, Christy is a magical human and I am so excited to hear what she has to say on the podcast. So Christy, welcome to the Gutsy Health Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I love it here. We call it the sanctuary. It's just so peaceful and it's just a great place to like recenter. And I love what you said that this is a really good place for the soul to meet science. That's something that I've just been a big believer in. I find that I can go way more expansively in my spiritual practice when my mind is open to all of the possibilities. So I am a big believer in kind of bridging both worlds. I feel like I came from a very realist background. And so for me, the science was actually a bridge to way more expansive spirituality. So yeah, happy to handhold anybody that's like, I don't know, that seems a little woo.
I love that. I want to talk about why the spiritual side of healing is so hard for people. Like there are multiple blocks and it's so beautiful because I want to read a quote from one of our past Gutsy members where you were actually there when she said it or wrote it. She said, I thought I was going to get rid of my eczema and I ended up getting rid of 30 years of trauma too and a bunch of parasites. And I thought that was hilarious because that's really what true deep, like healing from a cellular level up. It takes like healing like subconscious patterns. It takes healing trauma because that trauma creates energy, and that energy creates a cocktail of hormones and neurotransmitters. And that signals to the body to be in an inflamed state. And so this is why people chase down diet plans and supplements and doctors, because they use all these extrinsic factors to heal what is actually an intrinsic problem. And so why is it that people have a hard time connecting with the soul piece when it comes to healing?
Well, I think what I've noticed over the years is that when people first get that signal, usually we're just going about our daily lives, like the way that we've been taught to interact with the world, unless we've had like a very significant spiritual experience. We kind of go about it. Even some of our spiritual practices can be very check the box. Like, okay, I did this thing. I said my prayer. I did this. I did that. There's not really a reason to go any deeper. And then we hit this awareness level where, oh my goodness, something's off. And that next stage of awareness that kind of snaps us into something else is going on, gets us to kind of self-inquire. And maybe at first we want the doctor to tell us, or we, you know, just like you said, we want to go to the health food store, we want to get on a diet plan. But then sometimes those things don't really work initially. You know, it takes me back to, I had this client that I was working with who kept having chronic hip pain. She went to physical therapy for like 6 months and it was getting worse. They had given her like anti-inflammatory shots and all kinds of things. And they couldn't, like, it didn't make sense scientifically what was going on with her body and how it was declining. And then, so it got her to ask these deeper questions. She went to multiple places. And I think that's kind of what happens is like, whoa, something's off that I'm not finding answers for in the places where I would normally like put a token in and get an answer back, or put a thing in and get a prescription back, and it goes away. And so that is the level of awareness that goes, let's start going in and let's start searching a little bit deeper, and let's maybe find some answers that are outside the box. Maybe I'm willing to step a toe outside. And then once you start learning some things that are out of that traditional box of healing, you might go a little bit deeper. And when we start going inward, we're met with a lot of our past experiences. We're met with our pain. We're met with our heartache. We're met with our fight or flight responses. Because when we start doing the inner work, it can flare up. It's like, oh my gosh, you're listening? Here, I want to give you everything. And in that initial self-inquiry feels terrifying, because it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was going to open all these doors. And so like, close the doors, let's just like step back, you know? And so sometimes when we first start the self-healing process, we realize how much is entangled in it, how much is like, I think of it as like, it's a ball of yarn. And when you start pulling on one thread, the whole ball just wants to pop out in your lap. And so, yeah, most people, instead of going deeper and leaning in and diving into the healing, which at the end of that is just this, there's a beautiful song, it's, and I'm going to quote part of it, but it just says, when I go into my heartache, I dive as deep as I can go, and I end up at the bottom, face to face with my very own soul.
Oh, I love that. That's incredible. I don't think anyone... Well, no, not anyone. I think there are people that have actually felt their soul, heard their soul. You know what I mean? Like actually met it. Does that make sense? And I think what happens is, you said this to the Getsy Academy alumni last week, which I loved, where it's like, when you look at a baby, you can see their soul and their essence. And you're like, there you are. But as they grow up, they become entangled and enmeshed with rules and responsibilities and roles. And that essence starts to get layered by human stuff, right? Like earth stuff. And then we kind of get lost in that quiet, beautiful, innocent soulness gets like kind of dampened and dimmed down a little bit. And then we lose ourselves, right? And then we get so busy doing the things we were told to do by our parents, by our teachers, by TV, by media, by people that we looked up to, that we lose who we are entirely. And I think what happens is when, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you are the soul expert, but when we lose ourselves, our body then starts to ring and say, there's misalignment here. And that misalignment like manifests as like illness, and it manifests as dis-ease, because it's almost like a calling back to oneself. And it's like, we got to reclaim here. And so disease is a call for reclamation. It's a call for like, hey, we've lost parts of ourselves. Let's find alignment again, because everything is misaligned. What would you say to that? And would you add to that? Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I do. I think there are a lot of reasons why disease can start to occur in the body, for sure. I think about our system working as a whole in harmony with itself. And it's just this ecosystem of lots of different bacteria and lots of different rhythms. And if you think of those rhythms as like different gears in a cog, or, you know, all moving in synchronization, even if they have their own cycles and their own cadence. Through times in our life, we actually have to separate from a part of ourselves in order to stay connected, in order to stay okay in our culture, in order to, and that fracturing of ourselves is like we push a part of ourselves away. And there's many different angles to look at this from. I mean, there's so many different traditions that map the body and the emotions and the organs in different ways. And so I think it's not always like a one for one, but I think that the place where we hold that fracture in our body then breaks away from the synergy of the whole. And it starts this cycle of disruption, and it's kind of operating on its own. And it's like doing its own thing. And it really is sort of like this angry part of us, or this lonely part of us, or this isolated part of us that got put away that really needs attention. And so when I'm in deep healing sessions with people, a lot of times, wherever their body pain is or wherever their issues are, it actually flares up really intensely while we're in the healing process. Wow. And it gets worse. And because it's like, roar, like, hear me roar. I'm here to talk to you. I've been waiting all this time and you've like locked me away. And so it's very fascinating, like almost unbearable. I've had people have terrible neck pain or abdominal pain or whatever, as we're really getting into the heart of the issue, and it gets worse and worse in that moment. And then as soon as it's closed, the pain relieves or the tension goes away.
You know, one of the things that I think of as we are growing up is like when we, that fracturing of the self is like, we mold ourselves to please our parents or to please our siblings, or we change who we are to please other people. Like you said, so that we can stay in the herd, so we can stay in communities, so that we have like a sense of safety. But when we do that, we have that fracturing and that almost like that dismembering of ourself, of our soul, and our disconnection. And so that can lead to like illness, like you said. There was one thing before we started that you made a list, and how you said nervous system dysregulation is a huge part of us not being able to connect with our soul self. Can you expand on that? And then also after that, expand on what it actually means to connect to our soul self. Because a lot of people are like, what the heck? What is that? Like, imagine like a purple alien. Like, everyone's going to imagine a different size purple alien, right? And so connecting with the soul, like, what is that even?
Well, I think that this is just such a great topic. The first thing that I think of is that anytime our fight or flight's activated, and most of the people that I work with are under way more fight or flight than they realize. And as we start really getting into practicing deep levels of nervous system regulation, meditation, like different techniques to really get into their body more fully and to just kind of create spaciousness, a lot of them, when they have that reference point, then they realize, oh my gosh, I've never felt this good. I didn't know this feeling even existed, or that I could feel this way in my body. And so sort of creating that experience for them of one to the other is really powerful. But when we're in fight or flight, so many of us, I think, are reacting impulsively. So even a lot of our thought patterns are reactionary and conditioned. You know, if someone asks you a question and you've already got a pre-downloaded answer to something that maybe you've been asked this question before, you're not being fully present in the moment and you're just kind of sharing whatever comes out. That's a reaction. And what's interesting is, you know, throughout the course of our lives, we all had moments where our nervous system got elevated. We didn't know if we were going to say the right thing or do the right thing or how to act a certain way. And that reactionary pattern got stored in our nervous system. It's sort of like an imprint that creates like this wave, this pulse, this current, I would like to call it, that runs through our nervous system. And when this current is one of like, maybe it's chaos or maybe it's anxiety or maybe it's fear or maybe it's worry, they can have different signatures and different frequencies. But when that gets imprinted into our nervous system, we're then running that as kind of like a baseline. And different things can trigger it and activate it more. But it's kind of like this thing that's always going in the background. And our body, we're always managing it in some way, whether we're trying to keep it down or we're trying to find a way to burn it off or, you know, all of those different mechanisms for coping with this energy, this imprint that has been sort of downloaded or programmed into our physiology. The reason why I kind of say that addressing your fight or flight is the first state is because when we're really connected to that true essence of who we are, it's very different in every moment. We're kind of being fully present with ourselves and with the people in front of us. And we're showing up very authentically, and that can be very different in each moment based on every situation. And so when we're kind of reacting to life or we're avoiding things that we're afraid of, or we're attached to things that we think that we want, all of those things, and a lot of that is actually in our nervous system. So if someone's like very addicted to connection, it's a part of them that has an attachment that might be pulling them out of alignment. Connection's a beautiful thing, but if we're really attached to or seeking connection in a way that creates self-sacrifice or that creates a lack of being able to focus on other things that are important to us, then that thing that's actually that we're actually seeking something from a nervous system state, from kind of like a panicked state or an anxious state. I've even worked with a lot of business owners that create a lot from fight or flight, and that's not true creation energy. True creation actually comes from spaciousness and inspiration and the space for possibility. And so if we're creating from this like da-da-da-da-da, we're reacting and we're kind of like ping-ponging off of everything, it's diminishing what could be created. And so it's sort of like keeping everyone in that same state. I don't know if that makes sense, but usually when we see that we're in that state, that's like our wake-up call, like, okay, this is the first step.
You know, it's interesting, as you were even describing that, I can remember a time when I was running my companies from that anxious, like, it was right before I met you, actually, and Gina, and it was like, everything was fight or flight, everything was from trauma. And there was just like chaos, for lack of a better word, right? And it's like, why are things not moving around smoothly? Why are things not smooth? And then once I actually started healing my trauma and going within and like doing the heart and soul work, I was starting to heal my body. I was starting to heal my mind and like my nervous system. I still have a long way to go. Trust me, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but then I started to understand that, where I was like, I get to run this company from a heart and soul place, right? And instead of me seeking out the right people would come in at the right time, right? And then I started just building this team, and like people would just find us and I'd start, yep, you're the right person. And like, I've shared the story about running into Dr. Wright and him and I becoming like kind of partners in Provo Health, where I was like, hey, I'm a ship without a captain and you're a captain without a ship. And like how that just flowed, like everything just flowed and everything was easy. And, you know, after like Tristan had passed, my motto was ease and grace, right? And how you, instead of grasping for ease and grace, you just allow it. And that feels very like an energy thing. to the point where my staff are always like, Shanique just calls in whatever she wants. If she needs it, it comes to her. It's kind of a joke that my staff say that, right? Because I'm like, oh, we need more space. And then they're like, hey, this just happened in XYZ or, you know, and so it's kind of like a joke, but it's actually real. It's so real that it's like, I can run my life, my family, my business from a soul space and things just work effortlessly because it's just a different level. It's different rules. It's different vibrations. I don't even know what to call it. It's sorcery. I don't know, but like it works out in my favor a lot of the time that it's literally a joke around people that I know and work with all the time and Ryan. So I do feel that. I feel that a lot.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that our soul, our higher self, that essence that's us, it actually wants the best for us. And it wants like what we want, what we desire is in alignment usually, unless it's a desire coming from like a fear or an attachment. Like I want this so that I fit in, or I want this so that I look whatever, you know, way. But when you really get clear on yourself, you actually can start really easily just magnetizing the things that you want and stepping into that highest and best expression. But I think there's a few stages in there that are helpful to really address. And so the fight or flight is kind of the first one. And when we're in fight or flight, those are like our survival patterns. Whether everyone can be in different places in different areas of their life. So let's say that you were a stay-at-home mom and then all of a sudden you went through a separation or you lost your partner and then financially you were in fight or flight for the first time. Maybe that was something that you had never learned how to do. Or in relationships, you're in fight or flight where you have a lot of relational patterns that actually put you into a panic state. And that is a place for you that brings up fight or flight. So we all have these different areas and some of us could be operating in different phases in different parts of our life. So you could be like, oh my gosh, my business is so flow. It's so amazing. And then in this other area, I'm experiencing like these nervous system reactions, you know? So when I tell people this, it's not like you're always in one state and it's not linear. You know, you can hit a new level of something that brings you back into like, oh my gosh, I'm expanding in a way that I've never had to before. And it's bringing up all these new things. But so the first phase is that survival. And it's kind of this reactionary phase where our nervous system's in fight or flight. We are either trying to provide for ourselves in some way, that it could be patterns around scarcity, like feeling like there's not enough. These are all patterns of perception. So when I talk about these different stages of awareness, this is the way that we see the world. So I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs that are completely financially set and they have fear and scarcity around money. And there's all of these fight or flight patterns that are still running them to make more money, even though they have plenty. And so it's not necessarily the reality. It can be our reality. But it's the way that we're perceiving how we're relating to different areas of our life. So when we're in that survival, we're reactionary. We're not choosing our choices. We're not making our own decisions. We're just kind of like reacting to our circumstances. It might feel like we're making our choices, but oftentimes if you sit with where those choices come from, you can see how you might have taken twice as long to get to the same answer, or you made five steps forward and now you have to go back. And then the second phase that we kind of get into, let's say that we go in, we heal our nervous system, we get out of fight or flight, and now we're in a calm enough place where we can start reflecting on our belief systems. We can start observing our conditioning, the way that we were taught to think about things. So this is the phase of awareness that we enter where we're like, I wonder if the way that I was taught to do this thing or to go to school or to do this people-pleasing thing, I wonder if that's still serving me. That might have been my parents' way of doing things or my school's way or my community, but you actually get to start questioning your conditioning at this state because you're not in panic. You're not in like, oh my gosh, the boat's sinking, plug all the holes. The holes are plugged. And so you're like, are we in the best boat? Like, is this really, are we on course? Like, maybe, we're, I don't know, you know, you could just start.
Do I want to be in this boat even? Like,
do I want to be in this boat?
Why did I pick this boat?
Yeah.
I have felt that many times in my life. I'm like, why do I even do this? Like, why do I act this way around people? Like, why do I respond in this way? Yep, I get that.
And so we just really get to start reflecting on, okay, I have some space. Maybe this is the way that my, I'm sure you've had this because I've had this where you react in a way that your parents did and you were always said, I'm never going to be like my parents. And then it just comes out of you.
Yes. And it's like, you want to like bring it back in your mouth as it's coming out. You're like, what? I can hear what I'm saying, but I can't believe I'm saying it. And yet I'm still saying it. I've had that so many times.
That's kind of like that imprint where we're still conditioned. We're still kind of like operating the way that had been imprinted on us or put upon us. We don't necessarily want it to be that way. So we get to start kind of going through the box and unpacking it and going, okay, you know, like, let's look at this. Let's look at where it comes from. So that's the stage of really being aware of our conditioning, our patterns, and our programs that we're given. And our mode of operating. And then once we get to start really leaning in and healing those places and integrating those places, we enter this phase of exploring our authentic self. This is really fun because a lot of times I hear the word selfish all the time. People are like, oh my gosh, that's so selfish. I'm just going to go out and like, what do you think? I'm just going to do all these hobbies or do these things. And that would be so selfish. But in order to really get to our higher self-expression, we need to go through this phase of self-actualization. And we want to start exploring things from this place of like, I'm not doing this anymore because my parents want me to. I'm just going to do it to see how it feels. Does it light me up? Does it bring me alive? Does it make me more curious? You know, the things that for me, when I'm in my authentic self, I also have this like insatiable desire to learn. So I could learn, you know, forever on like sound and the physics of spirituality and this and that. And then I talk to some of my friends and they're like, I can't even go there with you. It's fine that you're into this. And I have other friends that love it, but you kind of know when you're in a rabbit hole that is just your full, most authentic, weird expression. And it really lights you up.
And I think that's the important part. It lights you up. It's not because someone conditioned you to like it. It's something that you feel like you could do over and over and over, day in and day out. Like, and it's just, it fills your soul with so much joy and happiness, right?
Yes.
While I'm on that thought, I don't want to forget this before you move on. Do you feel like that's maybe a reason why a lot of people feel anxiety and depression is because they do things that actually don't light them up, right? Like they do things kind of on like auto. Like, you know, on this like automation and that they're just like now on this hamster wheel and it's not truly exciting for them. It doesn't really inspire them. It doesn't create awe. It doesn't create that spark. Do you think anxiety and depression is a sign that they are just not in alignment or aware of what truly lights up their heart and soul?
I think that there are a lot of different components to anxiety and depression. From a psychological perspective and also from a spiritual perspective. So it's hard to kind of just wrap it up in that box. But anxiety can often be that I'm not enough for other people, and, or it's sort of this external factor that we can't fit ourselves into. And whether that comes from other people or that comes from culture, or it even comes from some idea that we picked up somewhere about what we're supposed to be. Like I said, it's not all cases. Some anxiety can actually just be fight or flight that was imprinted in you at a very young age. And whatever keeps re-triggering it is bringing that up. But, and then on the depression side, I do think that that comes with a loss of self, a really like a part of us that felt true or that felt pure. And like I said, it's not like a one size fits all, but when we're working with this kind of deflated, really low mood, I think that it's interesting because depression, one of the big things that we go through in our training is we talk about what is the definition of depression. It's having a low mood or an aversion to activity And some people think of depression as like this big idea. Like a lot of people have a big idea about what it is or what it means about me, or I don't have depression or I do have depression. You know, we kind of like have this big construct around it. And really, it could just be parts of ourselves that are feeling a little deflated or feeling like, oh, I don't really want to do this today, or I don't feel like getting out of bed today. And I don't know why I have this lower mood or lower energy. And it could be very severe or it could be very mild, but I think those are just little clues to get curious within ourselves about.
I just wanted to see what your thoughts were or what input you have. If you deal with anxiety and depression, I'm not saying it's a one size fits all, like Christy says. I've spoken about podcasts where we talk about mold and we talk about like infections where that can affect your brain and change your mood. And so there are chemical components to it. There are environmental components to it as well. So I don't want you guys to think that's the philosophy of the Gutsy platform. It's like, oh, it's just because we're not our true authentic self. Like, that's absolutely not true. You can't just think happy thoughts and it goes away for many, many cases. So I do want to be sensitive to that. But you were saying, so the third step that was the phases of awakening was now we are feeling our authentic self. We're feeling things that really light us up. What is next?
And so in that like authentic self, you're feeling for the first time what truly is a no and what truly is a yes. And you're really allowing your passions, your desires, your curiosity to kind of fuel this feeling of aliveness. And then that can translate once you know what brings me the most sense of aliveness. Our spirit is very connected to our body and our emotions. They're all just different aspects of ourselves. So when we're experiencing our desire, that's our spirit lighting up, you know, really coming fully alive and connecting and being in the present moment with us, giving us direction about where we need to go. And so then once we've kind of been able to explore authentically what we love, we can kind of see how that fits into the bigger fabric of our culture, of our community, of humanity as a whole. And we're able to start stepping into that higher self-expression, which means I take all of what I am, all of my life lessons, all of the things that I've learned. It might be skill sets, but it might be passions and desires. And then I figure out, how do I package this and give it back to humanity as a gift? I'm sort of like offering up who I really am in service of the world. And it's not service like, oh, I'm just going to help anyone and everyone because I want to be a good person. It's like the person that I am, my best self, is the service.
I see that. I think that's such a beautiful kind of like when you are connected to yourself, it's like a love offering to the world, because this is my philosophy. And when we connect with our soul self, we can, one, look at ourselves and see the humanness in us and see when we are acting out of humanness. Like, for instance, you watch the news and you get angry and triggered and it catch yourself and be like, oh, you're doing that human thing again, right? And so I think there's that part. But then there's also the part of like stepping outside and looking at how we are all connected, human to human, soul to soul. Like, I'm getting a little existential, but I am me and you are, we're the one and the same. We're all one big family, like one big soul. And we're just here experiencing this lifetime. But then we all go back to the same, almost like pool of energy, and realize that we're just all connected from the same circuit board. We're just different plugs, right? But the energy is like the electricity comes from the same source. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
And so like, to me, when you say like the higher self and the giving back, right? It's like you give back because you just see like you're giving back to everyone because everyone is you and you are everyone. And we're all just, we're connected on ways that we can't really truly understand, but you can feel it. Like there's no words. It's just a feeling. Whether you sacrifice time and energy to better the world, you know that it's a reinvestment in yourself, maybe on a different plane or a different form, because it's all the same.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there's a lot of different perspectives on the soul. And if we all come from one place or if there's different energetics of it. And so I think that's a fascinating conversation in itself that I think for today's conversation, we don't have to dive into the intricacies right. of soul signatures, but I do love that topic. But yeah, I mean, if you think about kind of this phase of higher self-expression, it's kind of like the more aligned I am with me, the more it actually allows each person to just be in their highest and best alignment. And then we all actually create so much more synergy. And that really takes us into the next phase is like, once I'm really embodied in my own self-expression, then I start to see, I get to have this greater awareness. I actually have so much more space to start reflecting on how can I give back to my community? How can I give back to the planet? How can I give back to all these other places and do it from a full cup? And then what if we added this person into what I'm doing? And what if we added this person? And that's more conscious creation, where we're open to collaboration and we're open to these projects or these synergies where we're creating way more than each of us individually could create.
I love that. And so what is next when it comes to kind of the higher self, the soul? What is the sixth step?
Yeah. So conscious creation is kind of the last one. And that's when you're really fully working in harmony with yourself and you've harmonized yourself, your career, your life. I think it's funny because for me, I created the business that I'm in from a very intuitive place and it was very aligned with my higher self. And of course, it's always evolving. It's not like it's ever a done thing, but I feel really aligned in that area. And then in my like relational sphere with friendships and community, I'm in a totally different phase. You know, I think some relationships I'm practicing being in my higher self, some I'm in my authentic self. And so I'm kind of like seeing and observing different places in my community and in my other spheres and where I'm evolving into. But then conscious creation is really where we start collaborating on a bigger picture and we start doing these collaborations that synergizes. And when we've cleared the patterns of survival and scarcity and programming, the collaborations become really abundant and they're really fulfilling. And that synergy is a win-win-win for everyone involved. It's a win for you. It's a win for me, you know, so to speak, whoever's involved. It's a win for the planet. It's a win for our community. There's this bigger picture in how we can give back. There's this bigger understanding of how it influences all of the parts and pieces.
It's interesting when I have done courses in the past where it's helping people like dive deeper. And it's been like multiple days, right? Like the first day, it's kind of like the cracking of the egg. The second day, it's the breaking open of the egg and the yolk spilling out. The third day is like putting it all back together, but they're completely different. And many people have in those courses said, like, I realize I am going to have a lot of very different conversations with the people I surround myself with. And I'm scared I'm going to lose them because they are recognizing that they've been true to people around them, but not to themselves, right? Like you said, they are not their authentic selves. They are who they think the person in front of them needs them to be, right? And so that, like, as you heal the programming that we have, it's so painful in the beginning. And we said this in the beginning of the podcast, like people resist this, but it's like the most liberating and freeing and empowering thing that people could do for themselves. And it's interesting too, because in the Getsy Academy, when we brought on the Mind, Body, Soul course last year, so many Academy members out the course were like, man, I'm so glad we started there. You know, they're like, I keep going back. They're like, even though we're in like the sixth section, I keep going back to mindset because I know this is where I still need to work. I know this is where I still need to grow. This is where I still need to practice my spiritual muscles, my mindfulness muscles, right? My heart muscles. It's really beautiful to help people recognize that evolving, like one, illness is a teacher, And like, it could be the highest teacher that you have ever met in your entire life, next to death. I think death is one of the deepest and most ancient teachers on the planet. So death, I think, is one of the biggest teachers, but illness is like right up there, right? And illness can teach you so much. Like, people that utilize illness as a tool to grow and become a better version, a higher version of themselves, they'll tell you that there's no other thing that could teach them as much empathy and depth and connection and understanding of other people as their illness. And I think, again, these are all things that just help us level up to go within and to allow us to really feel the authenticity and the enormous energy of who we actually are. Because once we actually access that, we realize, wow, who I am is actually a very powerful human, and I feel unstoppable. One of our Getsy members, you were there, she said before, when she talked to doctors, her energy was so different that they almost like bulldozed her over. They spoke down to her. They weren't respectful of her. But as she's done all this work, she now walks into doctors' offices and they are respectful. They talk to her kindly. They talk to her like a colleague. They never talk down to her. Like, the energy is just so different. And it's because she is different, right? It's because she is now her most authentic self. And she's realized that her most authentic self is this powerful human being, this powerful soul in this like human body, right? And so I think, again, it's okay. I don't want to say it's okay to be ill. Everyone has a very different opinion of illness. But if we can step into that place of allowing ourselves to learn from our illness, it could just take us to the place where we meet our deepest, like, truest self. Step into that place if you have been resisting it. Take that first step and allow your body to guide you to who that person is. Christy, for people that are struggling, for people that are on their healing journeys, for people that want to heal, what are some things that they can start today to start unraveling the layers of humanness and allowing themselves to find their most authenticness?
I think a big thing would be really starting to heal the underlying causes of like when I'm reacting, and it's getting to notice what are my reactions. Even my reactions, like if I'm in a place where I'm healing from an illness, what are my reactions to my illness? What is my relationship to my illness? How do I treat my illness and the symptoms of it? And what, maybe there are parts of myself that I'm actually separated from that I'm needing to reconnect with. I've noticed for me that it wasn't one thing. It was really just leaning into the journey and leaning into the uncomfortable places and asking, what do I need to heal? What do I need to learn? Because at the end of the day, our higher selves are us. And so as much as we all are in reactionary patterns and we have conditioning and we have this and we have that, our higher self is also us, and it's going to find us in a way that works for us. Your higher self isn't going to abandon you. You know, I think that's what's so funny is like, people are sometimes looking for a spiritual experience that they heard on the radio or they read in a book or they saw on TV or they heard from their best friend. And really, our spiritual experiences are when we reconnect with these parts of ourselves that have deep self-awareness and deep self-knowing and deep self-understanding and compassion and even humor. You know, like, I've had my higher self show up in healing processes, and it's only a joke that I could understand. There's just these really interesting parts and pieces that I think if people just start leaning into where they're feeling is the resistance for them.
How would people know how to lean in when they're so scared? How do they just lean in?
I think the biggest thing is really being comfortable. If this is your first experience to the inner work, I actually would get support. and have someone,
I would think the same thing,
really guide you into the deep depths. I mean, it's so nuanced for every person that I can't say like, oh, leaning in looks this way for one person. It's going to look very different. But for me, it was the places that I really resisted, especially like places that don't fit our identity. So if we have this idea about ourselves and there's something showing us a part of ourselves that we decided we are not like that, or we don't want to feel this way, or it's like a feeling that we're not okay to feel, to lean in and to actually like ask for guidance from someone to go, this is what's coming up for me. There's so much more awareness around our patterns. So one of the things that I actually really love is that our heart and our desires, our true desires, are a gateway to our higher selves. I like to say that our desires are divine messages from our higher self. And so when we can start, presence is one of the biggest things. Again, when we've been conditioned to want certain things, this is where it really takes deep awareness and self-reflection, because I could want something that's like, oh, I want that. Give me, give me, give me. But it's more like a craving, not a deep desire. Deep desire really takes presence with ourselves, and it takes time to connect with ourselves and time to go, okay, I said I wanted this thing. Where is that coming from? When I get that thing, how do I think that I'm going to feel? And what is it going to change for me? In the practice of getting a little bit more present with ourselves and sort of allowing the different desires to come up, those are like little nuggets along our path. And obviously that is very, like, these are just very basic, but I think accessing our feelings from a really clear place. So if I take time to get in meditation, or for me, a movement practice is really clearing. It clears a lot of the chaotic energy. I know in a lot of yogic traditions, they'll do an entire yoga sequence just to get clear so that they can receive guidance from their intuition. And they really want to move all the energy that's not theirs out of their body. And so I actually have on my website, we go through all of the different paths of awakening your consciousness and how to really get into these expansive states. And so different people work very differently. Some people love silence and prayer and meditation, and other people love movement, and other people like music works for them. So whatever is going to bring you fully online, that could be a whole series in itself.
That's a really beautiful way to describe it, is like, it's what you desire to do. Like you said, some people, like, they will connect to themselves through dancing and process through dancing. Other people, it's just trying to find silence and stillness. It's so individual. And I think that's the part of soul, is like, there's no five-step program for every person out there. It's just like, well, what resonates with you the most? What fits your personality the most, your energy? Here's a great example. And then we can wrap up, because I think I want to go back to the analogy of babies. And again, this could be a little out there for people, and that's okay. But everyone knows Tristan haunts us lovingly a lot. And I know he does you too, Christy. Like, I know you talk to him all the time. And it's funny, because you have literally had mutual friends walk into my house and they'd be like, oh my gosh, there was a really sad story here, but it ended well. You know, like, there's so much energy that Tristan still leaves behind that it's like palpable in like his living space, and it's palpable at the shop, and it's like palpable around us. But anyways, I digress. So I want to give the example of my baby Theo. He's literally like, people call him healing. People call him just love. He is just this bright, he's brightness. He is all like, he's so beautiful and loving, and he's all heart, and he's just, he smiles with his eyes, and like, he's just so just happy, just like his dad. And then I met my nephew, who is Tristan's sister's son, and he's very stoic and he's still, and you can see he is brilliant. And I'm like, that's a Tristan soul. I'm not saying it's Tristan, but I'm like, they are one and the same, where they're very deep. And they're very observant, and just brilliant. And I can't wait to watch him grow up because I'm going to see so much similarity to Tristan. So much. Like I could just feel him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he even looks like Tristan. And it's just like every soul is different. And so if these two souls grow up, the same techniques are not going to work on them, right? Because they're very different. With Theo, it could be like laughing and dancing and playing music, just like Ryan. And with Cubby, it could just be silence and breathing and meditation and stillness. And, you know, it could just be different. And so this is the beautiful part is people get to go on this journey to be like, who the heck did I come into this world as? How do I take away this fake canvas and find the true me? And I can't wait to see what the actual me canvas looks like. So Christy, how can people find you? What things do you have going on? You are helping us co-teach the Mind, Body, Soul course for Gutsy members this year. And I cannot wait for them to learn under you and learn from you and learn techniques to help them connect to their souls. But how else can people find you? Where are you at?
So, I mean, they can find my personal, I'm on Instagram, Christy Warfel. I have ChristyWarfel.com is my personal website, but probably if they want to check out our Sangha Tribe website, it's SangaTribe.com. And that's just got a whole bunch of resources on conscious awakening and what does awakening from our patterns look like? And how do we get into these different phases? How do we get to know what lights us up? So there's a lot of resources on that. And I think just like what you said, it's really discovering like what are the paths that are going to feel true to me and how do I start taking those paths? And really it's a lot about self-exploration. So it's trying it and seeing if that thing that you try lights you up. There's a lot of different tools, a lot of different practices out there. I know we're going to do some in the Gutsy Academy. We're actually going to do some self-exploration and some self-inquiry. But yeah, so that's where they can find me.
Awesome. Christy, thank you so much for this. I'm so grateful to you. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm really grateful that you connected with Tristan before he passed. Like he just adored you and obviously Gina. And I can't wait for the Gutsy members to meet you and learn from you. Listeners, if you want to keep going down the rabbit hole of soul and how soul connects with science, and you want more resources, make sure you reach out to Christy on Instagram or go to her website, as she is such a beautiful tool to our community. So Christy, thank you. Before we wrap this up, do you have any last words of wisdom or advice for listeners who are listening to you today?
Yeah, I think it's just that our soul is the part of us that will literally be with us in every moment. It is seen all of our ups and all of our downs. And it has the most love and compassion and excitement for our highs and understanding of our lows. When we really have the courage to go in and tap into those places and just get to start having that conversation with ourselves, an entire world opens up that is so big and so fulfilling and so connected that it really is something worth exploring, even if in the beginning it just brings up a couple of red flags or it scares us. It's actually the deepest level of love and understanding and connection that we will ever be able to find. And so I just hope that everyone gives themselves the opportunity to really know who they are and to really experience themselves on that level.
Thank you so much. That is great words to end this episode with. So you guys, we'll catch you next week on the Gutsy Health Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Gutsy Health Podcast. We hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from this episode. For more updates, follow us on Instagram @GutsyHealthPodcast.